I bumped into Casey Harbin this past week. He says, man, if I see anybody from Ephesus, I'm going to tell them since you got a new knee, you said you could preach 15 minutes longer than you did before. I didn't tell him, but that ain't no joke, man. That's serious here. It is good to be able to be up here again and to be able to speak to you. I told Diane this morning as I was thinking about my lesson, I don't know if I remember how to give a sermon up, but maybe I did, and maybe we'll be able to present it. I'd like for us to think this evening about chosen, promised, and entrusted. As we think about this, I think first of all, we need to understand that if we want our lives to be useful, we need to have a purpose. We need to have a mission in life. So many people go through life, and as they go through their life, they find that they just sort of amber along, and one day we wake up and realize that we have pretty much spent our life and never really accomplished anything. There are others who have a mission in life. They understand from an early age, this is what I want to do, or this is what I want to be, or this is what I want to accomplish, and that's what they set out to do, and that's what they do. And it's nothing wrong with changing courses. Sometimes we may have a mission or a purpose and decide that we're headed down the wrong path and start somewhere else. The Apostle Paul did that. He was determined to be the best Pharisee there ever was, and then he was converted to Christ and became an apostle. And so we see that sometimes our mission changes. But now this is true whether we're talking about a church or we're talking about just our individual life. John Kennedy was groomed to become president from the time that his brother Joseph Jr. was killed. Joseph Kennedy, his father, had determined that his son was going to become president of the United States. And his oldest son, Joseph, was groomed for that purpose, made ready for that purpose. He had laid the groundwork. However, unfortunately, he was killed during the war and was not able to accomplish that. Joseph, not being deterred from his plan, decided then that John, his next son, would become president. And he did. That's what you call purpose. That's what you call mission. From a very early age, that's what was determined and that was the plan, and everything was geared toward accomplishing that plan. John the Baptist came with a purpose. His purpose was to prepare the way for the Messiah. He said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm going to decrease. He's going to increase. But his purpose was to get the people ready to listen to Jesus. And he came with that sole purpose in mind. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The Apostle Paul had a purpose in his life. We mentioned earlier, as he began, he was a Pharisee. That was his goal. That was his purpose, to be a leader among the Jewish people. However, after he became a Christian, then he had a purpose in life, and it was different. In Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we read, we'll go to that later. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, where Paul is on the road to Damascus. As Paul is going toward Damascus, you remember he was going there to persecute the Christians, and this great light shone around him, and it blinded him. And he has this conversation with Jesus. Verse 15, the Lord said to him, go, and this is, he's talking to Ananias. Saul went into the city of Damascus. He was waiting there. The Lord appeared to Ananias and said, you go talk to him. He says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So God said to Ananias, I've got a purpose for Saul, and I want you to go tell him about it. So it says in verse 20 that after he was baptized, immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying he is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 26, he is on trial. And there as he stands before Agrippa, he recounts what had happened in the past. And so in verse 15 of Acts 26, Paul says, and I said, who art thou, Lord, when this light shines around him? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also the things which I will appear to you. And so he said, I was given this purpose, delivering you from the Jewish people, from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. And so he says, here is my purpose. I was given this purpose by God to go and to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles, to preach to these Gentiles and to bring them to repentance in Jesus Christ so that they could have the forgiveness of their sins. But what we need to understand is that God has a purpose and a mission for each one of us. He's not going to appear to us like He did to Saul, but He has a purpose and a mission for each one of us. What is my purpose? What is your purpose? What is your mission as an individual? Have you ever just sat down and thought about what is it that I need to be accomplishing? You know, sometimes we set goals and these goals really have no meaning whatsoever. We may set goals that have to do with maybe some sports activity. We may set goals that have to do with maybe some charitable organization. We may set goals that have to do with education or maybe a career of some kind. And these things are not wrong in and of themselves. But if these are the only goals and this is the only mission we see in our lives, then our lives are being wasted. Jesus said, what does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? I remember my dad telling me about when he was in high school. And the principal of the high school here in Athens told him, said, you have a tremendous amount of ability. You have a great skill in learning. You have a good skill in talking. And what you really ought to do is you ought to become a politician and you ought to be a statesman. And you could be good at it. And Daddy's reply was, no, I'm going to preach the gospel. And he said, what a waste. What a waste. But from his high school years, Daddy had determined that he was going to preach the gospel. That's what he wanted to do with his life. And that's what he did with his life. And that's what we need to have a purpose in our lives. It may be in reaching out to those around us in various ways, but we need to have a purpose that has a spiritual meaning and a purpose toward God that fulfills what He would have us to do. What is our purpose and mission as a family? Do we have goals as a family? Do we have even temporary goals? We're going to read the Bible through together once a year. We're going to spend this much time in prayer. We're going to do this or that or something else. Do we have any kind of spiritual goals as a family? What about a church? Do we have a mission here? Do we have a purpose for being here other than just coming together once in a while? We need to have some purpose and goals, and we need to be working towards something so that we can see where we are and what we're accomplishing. Anything that is successful must determine where we are and determine where we want to go and then decide how we're going to get there and then do it. And so we need a purpose. We need a mission. What was the purpose and the mission of Paul? First of all, it was to be chosen by God. That was his purpose. To obtain the promise of God. And then to share the Word of God with which he had been entrusted. Now going to Titus 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth is according to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. But at the proper time manifested even His Word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus my true child in the common faith, grace and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Savior. And so we see that Paul said, I have been chosen, I am going to stand on the promises of God, and I have been entrusted to share the Word of God. What does it mean to be chosen of God? Well, we're chosen by faith. There in Titus 1:1, he says, for the faith of those chosen of God. And so we're chosen by faith in God. In Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the creation of the world, foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Brendan, hand me my water bottle, please. In 2 Thessalonians, thank you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verses 13 and 14, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what He says here. He says, you're chosen. He says, you're chosen by faith. And He said, it is through the gospel that you have this choosing. Paul is not saying or suggesting that God chooses people and arbitrarily saves them, but it is by faith. It is when we come to faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ that we can be among those who are chosen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. And so it is through faith in the Word of God, it is faith in Jesus Christ, that we can have salvation, we can be chosen by God. Tonight I would just simply ask, have you been chosen by God? Are you a Christian? If you're not a child of God, then you're not among His chosen people. The chosen of God are to live godly lives. Going back to our text in Titus 1, he says, Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness. And so if we are chosen of God, we have the responsibility then to live godly lives. Over in the second chapter of Titus, Paul says there, beginning in verse 11, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify Him for Himself, a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. And so Paul says, here we have been chosen of God, and it is for the purpose of living godly lives. We are to live for Him. We're to do away with all the ungodliness, and we are to live godly lives in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, after explaining that we are saved by grace through faith, and he says, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And then he says in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so our whole purpose of becoming a child of God, of being chosen by God, is that we might live godly lives. And so the chosen of God are to live godly lives. Does my life, does your life reflect godliness? Sometimes we sing a song, Christ has no hands but my hands. Do people see Jesus Christ living in us? Do we show others what it means to be a Christian when they look at us? If we are what we ought to be, then our lives should lead others to want to serve God. And they should be able to see Jesus living in us every day. Our purpose and our mission in life is to be based on the promises of God. Paul's was. In Titus 1 again, verses 1 and 2, he says, Paul, a bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God, the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, and the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. God has made the promise to His chosen that they have eternal life. And it is based on that promise that our mission rests. It is because we have that promise that we have the purpose of living for Him. In Titus chapter 2, beginning verse 11, he says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And so we're looking for this blessed hope, this eternal life, because God has promised it to those who are chosen. In Titus chapter 3, he says in verse 5, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so we have this hope of eternal life because God has promised it to us if we are chosen and we live godly lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance. He says, here you have this, this inheritance that God has given us. God has promised us an inheritance. We all know what an inheritance is, don't we? We all sometimes think, you know, maybe one of these days somebody's going to be extremely wealthy and they're going to leave all this money to me. Well, that doesn't happen to most of us, does it? But you see, God has promised us an inheritance. And then He says, which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, it's reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved for you. It's there. It's promised. It is given on the basis of God's Word, and God cannot lie. Who is He talking to? He says, to you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so we have this promise of eternal life that God has given to us, and we live on the basis of that hope and live in the basis and rest upon that promise. And so John tells us in 1 John 5 and verse 13, he says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. It's there. It is God who cannot lie, who has promised it to us. And if we are chosen of God and we live for Him and live godly lives, He has promised that it will be reserved for us in heaven. Chosen, promised, and entrusted. Our purpose and our mission is to be based on the promises of God. Do we live in the assurance of these promises now and in eternity? You know, God's made a lot of promises for us right now, but then the ultimate promise is heaven. Do we live with that in view all of the time, every day? That's what we should do. Our purpose and our mission should be based upon seeing that heaven there for us. Paul was entrusted with the Word of God, that is the Gospel, and along with that, the responsibility to share it with others. Going back to our text in Titus 1, he says, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God, and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, and the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even His Word, in the proclamation with which I was entrusted, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child, in the common faith, grace, and peace from God the Father, in Christ Jesus our Savior. And so Paul says, I've been entrusted with the Gospel, and it is my responsibility to share it. In writing to the Corinthians about this, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he said, if I preach the Gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I'm under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the Gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. Paul said, God gave me this responsibility to preach the Gospel, and I recognize that responsibility, and I have made it my mission in life, I have made it my purpose in life to share the Gospel with those people around me. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus felt the same mission when He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Paul was entrusted with the Word of God, that is the Gospel, to share it. But Jesus has given us the same mission, to share the Gospel with the lost. In Matthew 28, and verses 18 and through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then He says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What was the last thing He just commanded them? It was to go preach the Gospel. And so He is telling us we have the responsibility to preach the Gospel, just like the Apostle Paul did. We may not go on a mission trip, we may not do a lot of things the way he did it, but it is our responsibility to share the Gospel with those who are lost. It may be our family members. It may be friends. It may be co-workers. It may be fellow students. It may be people that we just bump into randomly. But every single one of us has opportunities, and it is our responsibility to share the gospel with the lost. Tonight, we just simply ask the question, have you been chosen by God? Are you a Christian? If not, you can come to Jesus in faith, and you can have that promise of eternal life in heaven. If you'll confess your faith in Jesus and turn away from sin, be baptized in His name. He's promised that you can have eternal life. And then it is your responsibility to live a godly life and to share your salvation with those who are lost. Tonight, if you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.